Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's episode 2, Larry Richard Unfiltered with Jim Krenn and Sheila Hyland, and looking forward to making this one even better than the last one. The inaugural, guys, 1 to 10, what'd you think? Jim, you're really the podcast expert, so
Thank you.
Defer to you.
Thank you, Larry. I appreciate you saying that. I'd give it a 10.
Wow.
I got great reviews from friends and family would tell me the truth. If it's bad, they'll tell me. They don't play. They all say it sounds great. That was the word from all relatives. Sounds great.
Sounds great.
How's Larry? Is he a nice guy?
Sheila?
I would say, okay, a 9.5.
What?
Okay. Well, there has to be room for improvement.
I
mean, seriously.
I like your style.
Otherwise, we're just one and done. So 9.5.
Very nice.
That's okay. What the Italian judges say.
So the whole idea of this from the beginning, from Jim Crendo Restrictions, was to, you know, Jim and I get together and then highly recommended Sheila.
I'm the token female.
Not token.
Yeah.
No, we need.
I'm here to balance you two out.
Brilliant person. We need to get well person with a brilliant, bright, and, you know, a real journalist. She is. She's like a real journalist.
I know.
Look at the way he's looking at you.
Larry's like, what, really?
She's a real journalist.
I know, she's legit.
No way.
She's legit. How many years did you do television news?
22.
Right?
Yes, started when I was 10.
So you're so recognizable around Pittsburgh. Everywhere you go, people still have to say, hey, Sheila, I remember that story.
Yeah,
what do they say
did
to
Don
you when
Tan.
They encounter you?
Well, they used to say, wow, you're so much better looking in person, which I thought was actually pretty good. Because wouldn't you rather be better looking in person than on television?
Yeah, I've had the opposite. When I did TV weather and I would be out, people would say, you look so much better on TV.
Really?
Is that all the taller you are? Which was very disappointing, but go ahead.
No. So now, if people recognize me, it's like, oh, you look much younger in person. Thank you very much again.
Well, that's good.
You know, at my advanced age, I appreciate that.
Yeah, we don't need numbers.
No, and I'm not giving them to you.
See, my grandmother she was like a age freak. She didn't want anybody to know how old she was. On her tombstone.
Yeah.
It does not have her. You know how they put on the tombstone?
She didn't put her age.
Born?
Yeah.
It just says born.
I love that. That's great. You know, it's weird. Next week is my birthday. I turn 62.
What?
And it's interesting turning 62 in my life because I really am thinking about this. When I was like 22 and I'd be watching like the news, it'd be like a man was pulled out of the river today. He was 62 years old. When I was 22 watching, I'd be like, he lived a long life.
Hey, and I hate to
How
tell you this,
How many years does
Jim?
He have left? You know, that's an old timer.
In the news
no,
business,
like,
when we, like when we started out, well, when I started out in the 80s, if someone was 63, we called them elderly. I'm so sorry to tell you
I'm
that.
I still got
I don't know that we still do that.
I still got a year.
But, I mean, elderly. You know, well, that
I'm
was back
elderly.
In the 80s.
I do have arthritis in my knee. I don't know. Maybe I think I'm getting old.
Well, then we have both ages and sexes covered between the two of you, right?
Yeah.
So last week we talked about the fact that the combined Rolodexes of the three of us, people under a certain age don't know what a Rolodex is, as a matter of fact. It's your contacts. It's your phone, right?
Yes.
They're on LinkedIn now.
Yeah, we figured, and with the power of our producer, Dick Roberts, we thought collectively we could bring some really interesting guests and go much deeper than you can in traditional radio and television, even that, print.
That's why you're unfiltered. That's the idea.
Yeah, so...
because I think you're a great interviewer, man, so it gives you a chance to, like, loosen up.
Yeah, well, you have a lot more elbow room, and you can really go deep. And
we
got
2 minutes, 3 minutes in radio. We got to go in and out.
Yeah, it's hurry up, wait, get it done.
Do our thing.
And we're honored to have on the show today Gretchen McKay, a food editor, Post-Gazette. She was very clear. Mm-hmm. I am not the restaurant critic. I'm the food editor.
And she's going to drop the F-bomb a lot.
So we're going to dig deep onto what the rumor means. I doubt that. And first up, we're honored to have Eric Heil. Eric, you spent how many years with the Trib?
23.
And now you're with, you're the editor at the Patch in the North Hills.
I edit the Patch websites for Pittsburgh. There's 15 local websites focusing on hyper-local news. And it's a lot of fun. And it's great because we focus more on community interaction. It's not just a strict news site.
So you like that better than just the who, what, where, when, and why of a news story?
This is a little bit more modern approach to it in that, again, focusing on the community engagement. I don't tell you what the news is. Sometimes the community will tell me what the news is. Like, say Ned in Brookline wakes up and the alligator that he has in his bathtub has gone missing again.
Yeah, that'll
again. Happen. So he gets on Patch, perhaps, and he, we invite readers to post not just news tips, but what's going on in the community. And, you know, and so Ned gets on Patch and he says, well, Alex is missing. If
really?
You see him on the streets of Brookline, can you let me know? And so I'm reading this in real time on Patch. I'm like, well, this could be interesting. So I email Ned, but Ned's busy looking for his alligator. In the meantime, somebody who is waiting at the bus stop sees this alligator who looks like he's about to go downtown. So she goes on Patch and she says, well, okay, you know, I think I found your alligator. He's here at the bus stop going down, you know, from Brookline to downtown.
Right.
And Ned goes, well, you know, types back, keep him there. Keep him there. I'll be right down. In the meantime,
don't let him get on the Patch bus.
Right, right.
It's tough to hold him down.
And then, so, you know, Ned gets to the bus stop, and I'm following this in real time again. And it, by that point, the alligator has moved on to PETA land.
Oh, and nice choice, though.
Very, very, very nice choice. And they find him there. You know, Ned finally gets his alligator back, and they're feeding him a gyro, which is none of this Euro stuff. It's a gyro. This is Pittsburgh.
This is Pittsburgh.
So, you know, we do the – then I leap in then and then do the story of how this alligator got out and was recovered. And it's all because these people are posting what's going on in real time in their communities.
And, you know, and you're so right, because I get on Patch every single morning. It comes into my feed.
God bless
and,
you.
Yeah. So I see what new stores are coming in Ross Park Mall and what road closures are coming up and, you know, missing alligators, et cetera, rabies that might be happening in the neighborhood.
Were there rabies?
Well, you know,
rabies outbreaks going on here.
What about this escape?
Is Ned really? Is this real, Ned? Is this alligator real? Does this happen?
Using that as a hypothetical.
Oh, okay.
Well,
but we do have
happened.
A tendency in Pittsburgh for people to lose their alligators. That's happened, what, a half dozen times?
I was not.
It is.
And I could see somebody in Brookline Boulevard going, don't touch the alligator, kid.
Right.
He's got disease.
What about the escape of this? What is it? It's an eagle. It's called Kodiak. It's from the National Aviary.
Oh, the Russian eagle.
Is it Russian?
It was Russian. I don't know.
A stellar eagle. I don't know what that means.
It's
but
a stellar
it's,
Russian eagle.
On the loose.
It's 4 foot tall and 20 pounds,
wow.
And it's roving around Pittsburgh.
He's on the north side.
Is it?
So
it's still in the north
last
side.
Last on north side, yeah. So if you see a big pigeon, it's not.
A giant pigeon.
Yeah.
So that's the kind of stuff that might pop up in your feed.
That's cool.
Well, yeah, and then people see him. And again, you can see why he's staying on the north side, because there's so many good attractions there. I mean, like, he probably wants to get down to Pepe's on Western Avenue and get one of those big Roethlisberger sandwiches before they discontinue them.
I'm in. Yeah. I know exactly what you're saying. Go to Gus and Yaya.
Yeah, get an ice cream. Get some popcorn. Ice cream.
Right.
Yeah, ice cream.
Big Bird wouldn't want that.
Yeah.
I want to hang out with this alligator and the missing Kodiak. Well,
yeah, Kodiak, the stellar eagle.
It's a 4-foot eagle.
Well, here's what the aviary says. The aviary says, don't approach it.
Yeah, you're right.
Don't try to capture him yourself. Call us.
As we would want to do.
Well, sounds crazy, but I got two relatives that would do that.
And how would they go about doing that?
I got a couple cousins. I'm going to catch that thing.
Well, then,
I'm going to keep it.
And these kind of stories, then that generates other interest. So then we had the follow-up of a macaw loose in Stanton Heights. And they got a picture of this macaw in the tree. Do you remember the snake picture over in Frick Park?
Yeah.
A giant snake. I didn't know we had snakes that big in
these exotic animals.
Pennsylvania.
A macaw. That sounds like something to be in Fox Chapel. It's a macaw.
What is one of your wildest stories you've ever covered in your news experience?
Well, I've done the gamut from, you know, presidential visits to missing alligators. You know, in terms of wildness, it's all in the eye of the beholder. You know, frankly, you know, kidnappings, arsons, murders, you know, assaults, those type of things, crime, government, politics, transportation. I'm boring myself, so I must be boring you guys.
No,
cover it all. Yeah. I'm curious.
Yeah.
Are you a Pittsburgher? Are you born and raised here?
Born and raised in Mount Washington and an East End resident now for about a quarter of a century.
Well, think about it. It's pretty cool, man. You talk about, you know, visiting presidents and stuff like that.
Yeah.
When you're a kid growing up, you don't think of that, right?
No, and then you're on deadline and you're trying to get past Secret Service agents who are blocking your way to your office where, you know, and we couldn't type on phones then. This was, you know, again, back in the Paleozoic era. But, you know, you get on there and you get on the computer finally after circumventing Secret Service agents. And that makes for, you know, a story to tell many, many years later when you have far less hair than you did back then.
You do look suspicious.
Eric,
we're with Eric Heil, who is the editor of The Patch. And, Eric, I'll tell you a story. When I was doing the weather, I got a letter. It looked like, you know, when people got snail mail, when you actually had mail that wasn't an advertisement. And it said something about the White House. And I just thought it was some political stuff. I threw it away. But a week later, I get a call from the White House press office saying, did you receive our invitation? And I remembered, I said, I do remember receiving something, but I got to tell you, I didn't realize that it was legitimate. She kind of laughed and she said, well, it's an invitation to come to the White House. This is when Clinton and Gore were in office. And this is before anybody really knew that Al Gore was going to be at the forefront of climate change. Nobody really knew that.
Okay.
He was the vice president.
It's pretty cool that you invited.
She says, it's October 1st.
Okay.
Today is the anniversary. Will you attend? I said, who's going to be there?
Did you?
I did.
Okay.
She goes, the president, the vice president, the head of FEMA. And I'm like, really? She goes, yes. I could tell she was really starting to get annoyed.
Yeah.
I said, I'm in. So I drove to Washington.
This is a great story.
It's 100%
true. I never heard the story.
So I get to the White House. You have to go through security like we're all used to now.
And they said, oh, we met another Larry Richard.
Well, there were about 100 meteorologists, weather people. Al Roker was there from all over the country.
Okay.
And the whole idea was that Al Gore was going to pitch the Kyoto Climate Summit, right? So we had name tags and we're in the gold room and they had pastries. This is before Al Roker lost weight. He was pounding them.
Yeah.
He was pounding them. And I'm standing there, and the guy comes up to me from Los Angeles, and I look at his name tag. It says Dallas Rains. And I'm like, oh, well, perfect. A weatherman.
Great.
And my sister, who lived out in LA, she said they treat weather people like superstars out there for some reason. I'm like, there's no weather out there.
Yeah, really.
So
same weather.
He looks at me and he goes,
Larry Richard, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. And I go, Dallas Rains, Los Angeles.
And I love that name, by the way.
Oh, it's great.
I want to legally, change my name.
I said, Dallas. I said, yeah. My sister tells me they treat you guys better than movie stars. He goes, yes, I'm afraid it's true.
It's like,
I thought he was going to say, no.
He goes,
a big deal around here. Exactly. He said, you know how embarrassing it is when I'm with my movie friends and people are yelling my name?
Oh, I know that.
Now I'm going, oh, please. Just then, Secret Service agent taps us on the shoulders, and he said, would you two gentlemen start a line at this door?
Okay.
And he's one, I'm two. And then there's the other 98.
All right.
The door's open. There is every branch of service in full military gear represented. And we were given little cards with our names on them. And then there's the president and the vice president. And they looked like animatronics. It was unreal.
The president, vice president did?
This is Bill Clinton. And Al Gore.
Larry, love you, Larry.
That's it.
But Larry, there's Dallas Rains right there. I love you, Dallas,
come on. I'm glad you're first.
And Al's there. The polar bear is dying right now, Larry.
So
the
what
polar
happens
bear cannot eat.
I hand my card. They make the announcement. Larry Richard, KDKA Television, Pittsburgh. Next thing you know, I'm shaking hands with Bill Clinton.
He's cool.
Pretty tall guy. He looks at my tag and he goes, Pittsburgh. He goes, I was just there a couple of weeks ago. And I said, yeah, it was kind of in all the papers.
To your place called Cheerleaders?
I said,
really good cover.
I said, Mr. President, you know why women in Pittsburgh have such great legs? They're calves because they have to walk up and down the hills. Hmm. No, I didn't say that.
Oh, I thought you did. I'm buying
in. But he says to me.
He does this all the time.
He goes, look, and I turn, and there's a photographer. They snap a picture. Now you're with the vice president.
Larry,
and
polar
bears are
dying. And you
chit-chat for 10 seconds. He says, look, you get a picture. So we go on, and they do this whole pitch where Al Gore is giving us the climate change stuff. And we're like,
right?
I said to Dallas, mm-hmm. I said, Al Gore wants to be a weather guy. He goes, yes, I know.
Everyone wants to be a weather guy, Dallas.
Everybody wants to be me.
Of course.
So 6 weeks go by in a manila envelope with the return address stamped White House comes this two photos, one with me and Bill Clinton, one with me and Al Gore. And I'm thinking, for a kid born in Millville, raised in McCallis,
cool. Mm-hmm.
Here I am at the White House, like you're saying, Eric. You get these opportunities just in the news, and I take them to the local frame shop. I said, these are worth framing.
I would frame it, yeah.
They're at the frame shop. Guess what happens?
What?
The Monica Lewinsky scandal breaks.
Oh, no.
My wife says, you're not putting that pig's picture up in our
fireplace.
House.
Yeah. Larry had it above the fireplace, probably.
I'm thinking, is the president. So I thought, okay, all right. So I figure Al Gore is a shoe-in because he's going to win the election, and now I'll have a picture with the next president.
Yeah.
Well, remember the hanging chads in Florida?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He lost.
I know.
So now I thought, I'm really screwed.
Yeah, really.
I got these two great pictures, and then Hillary runs for president. I'm thinking, I'm back in because I got a picture of the first man.
Right. Right.
Right. I could pitch that.
I love that.
And then she lost.
And how'd that work for you?
Twice.
This is
not good.
Oh.
So I got these great pictures of these powerful.
Hang on to those photos.
You think?
They may come back one day. I have no idea. Yeah, maybe.
So
I think you're right about Al Gore wants to be a weatherman, probably.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Do you realize Al Gore won an Academy Award, a Grammy, all these other things that everybody in the entertainment business aspires for, and he's got them without even trying.
The ice caps are
melting. All because he said we're going to get hit by a big clod.
Yeah. Ice caps are melting everywhere, Larry. The polar bear's dying.
That's kind of how he talks, too.
I know.
And how about the irony?
That's so great.
His wife, who was he married to? Al Gore, the woman.
Tipper.
Tipper.
Oh, nice.
Tipper.
Yeah.
Tipper. Nice. Tipper was against music with bad language.
She was.
That means nothing.
Yes.
Would be on the air right now.
She listened to Metallica in her quiet time, though.
They got
divorced.
She doesn't
listen to my son's band.
And Bill Clinton still married, in spite of...
Yeah, you're right.
Right?
Yes.
Isn't that the bizarre part?
He weathered the storm.
Stranger things have happened.
All right, we're with Eric
Kyle. You got to bring those pictures, photos in. So we can see.
I will. I'll bring them in for episode 3.
Yeah, I want to see them.
This is episode 2, Larry Richard Unfiltered with Jim Krenn, Sheila Hyland, and our special guest. We'll be back with more with Eric Kyle in just a moment. Larry Richard Unfiltered with Jim Krenn, Sheila Hyland, and our special guest for episode two. It is Eric Heil, who is the editor of The Patch. How many different representation, who you oversee? How many? 15?
We have 15 Pittsburgh-based sites, and we try to make it easy for people. All you have to do is go to patch.com, type in your zip code, and it'll refer you to the closest patch to your neighborhood. Not every neighborhood has one, but again, there'll be enough local, city, state news as well in there, probably to keep you occupied and, you know, until those alligators escape.
Yeah, when I was saying that, yeah, in a voyeuristic way, it'd be interesting. Even if it's, because it's live, it's somebody telling you what's going on.
And it's
all
great.
Of a sudden you have an alligator story or something.
And you get to know the people in the community, the regulars who will email you and tell you, you know, if you drop the ball on something, although, you know, that never happens to the Pittsburgh Patch editions. But,
sure.
But, and, you know, and it's great. And, it fosters community engagement. It gets people to know people. And we tell them about upcoming community events that perhaps they might otherwise not be aware of. And it's just a great way to present the news, you know, here in the 21st century.
What sparked the Patch, this hyper-local focus?
Well, I think there was a trend for a while to concentrate on big picture stories and things of that nature at many of the major metropolitan papers. And while there's certainly nothing wrong with that, you know, there was a loss of good community journalism and good community news. And, you know, when it comes down to it, yeah, sure, you want to learn about political corruption and everything at the state and national levels. But more importantly, you know, you want to know, when are they going to patch the pothole at the end of my street?
Mm-hmm.
You know, when are they going to do that? Or why is McAllister Road closed? And so we can tell them that, and, you know, that way, you know, they know what's going on in their neighborhoods. And we decided to do that at Patch, and we've had a lot of success with it. We're a national organization that has Patch sites all over the country, and pretty much news for everyone.
Well, hopefully we can use Patch to find that Russian eagle.
Yeah, the stellar
eagle. Somebody's got to spot it. Somebody has to see that eagle.
Kodiak.
How do you hide your 4-foot eagle on Northside? You cannot hide.
It's still on the loose.
Yes, he's flying on East Iowa
right now.
You know
what? One of those bird watchers will find Kodiak.
I think so.
They're out there.
Yeah. I'm curious, though.
Why are you staying on Northside?
In all seriousness, and by the way, we're going to talk to Gretchen McKay, who is the food editor of the Post-Gazette. And the Post-Gazette, I think of the newspapers and how after 230-some years, that there's no longer a daily newspaper. I think that's kind of sad. I mean, that goes back to the beginning and the founding of our country and before elsewhere. It's just such a significant and dynamic shift. And Eric Heil, you lived through that dynamic shift with the Trib.
Absolutely. You know, I was one of the first reporters hired for the Pittsburgh edition back in the early 90s. And we were about a half dozen strong there at that point. It was just a bureau, essentially, of the Greensburg papers. And we gradually expanded over the years and grew from this small little outfit to winning state awards for being the best paper in Pennsylvania for a couple of years. And you know, unfortunately, there were some monetary issues that have impacted many newspapers across the country, and the Pittsburgh edition was a casualty of that. And, you know, a lot of good people lost their jobs over that, and, you know, you still feel sad about that. But, I mean, you know, in the communications industry, as you guys are all aware, you can either adapt or you perish, and then, you know, sell shoes or something.
Well, you know, Larry's generation, he knows about paper. I don't need paper. My generation, I don't even know what paper is.
Until your birthday.
Yes, until my birthday.
Then that'll change.
Then it'll all change.
Well, I miss papers. I mean, getting up in the morning and opening just the smell of that newspaper, opening it up in the morning with a cup of coffee. You know, the laptop just doesn't smell the same.
That's what I'm saying. In a restroom, I take my phone now. It used to be the paper.
That's TMI.
Or Reader's Digest. You have, but where do you go to comprehensively look at the obituaries unless you have a paper. It doesn't feel the same online.
What? Read that every day, the obituary, a little magnet.
Do you have? Did the patch have obituaries?
We focus primarily on
the living.
The happy news.
That's a Pittsburgh thing, reading obits.
Yeah. That's national. One of the best read sections of any newspaper in any part of the country is obituaries.
Really?
Yeah.
That's a big
one. Are you serious?
So when I'm 63, that's all I'm going to read.
Yeah.
Next year.
When you're elderly.
Yeah, when you're elderly.
I'll be all over that obit, man.
Oh, like, I know. That's
a bit great today.
But I still can't believe that there isn't a daily newspaper because it was so much a part of our daily lives, again, since the founding of the country.
Yeah.
Make me sad, Larry.
Gretchen wants to get in on this conversation.
We're
going
to be talking to Gretchen McKay at the Post Gazette.
She's raising
apparently
her hand
she
over
has
there.
Something to say about that.
Right here.
And she'll be coming up. But I think about this. You talk about change. Eric, you're exactly right. If you don't adapt, you're going to be out. The only constant is change.
Well, now we have podcasts. You'd be right. Filtered.
I wouldn't even be doing this if we didn't have Odyssey, which is our company, which rebranded just last year from Entercom, which was a company that started 50 years ago. And now the whole push is this new dynamic of online accessibility to content. So people still have a demand. It's not like the news is going away either. And you're right, the community base, they really need that local touch.
Absolutely.
And so it's going to work, I think, for a while. But keep this in mind. Somebody somewhere made the best wagon wheels in the world. They were perfect. Everybody came to get their wagon wheels.
Yeah,
and you know what? They didn't change.
No, they didn't.
And a guy came by in a car with the rubber wheels.
That guy went out.
He lost everything. But I make the best wagon wheels in the world.
What's going on here? It's the best wagon wheels. Right.
I don't need them. I got rubber. That.
So, yeah.
They still make them in McKee's Rocks.
There's somebody.
Do they? That I wouldn't know. But there are a lot of industries like that. Now I hear, you know, Lordstown, that giant manufacturing General Motors that's on the turnpike when you head into Ohio?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It's huge. Did you hear the latest?
What are they turning it into now?
Well, they've gone through this retrofit, and they made small GM cars, and then they were supposed to make trucks there. Now the Chinese may buy it and turn it into an electric car plant, Apple cars.
Okay.
I'm serious.
Well, I was watching, like, you ever see the Men That Built America, that documentary? It's real cool. If you haven't seen it.
Is this a series?
It's a documentary, like a four-part series out 15 years ago, whatever. So you can get it on Netflix or Amazon. And Men That Built America, it was like Carnegie was one of them, you know. So a lot of it was Pittsburgh, really. And it was like, you know, but anyway, they had seen, and they reenact everything, you know, historic. I may be wrong on who this was, but the point is, I think it was J.P. Morgan. He was friends with Thomas Edison. And Edison, light bulb, there's the light bulb, and they have this house fitted with light bulbs and stuff. And Morgan went to his dad to start Edison Electric, you know, which they ended up doing eventually. But he went to his dad and said, hey.
Oh, he funded him.
He said, let's start this. And he goes, it's just a fad, this electricity. This light thing. This light thing's a fad. So going back to the wagon guy. Right?
There's a great movie. I'm glad you mentioned that because people are familiar with Westinghouse. We used to be Westinghouse Broadcasting, where at one point, think of this, Jim, being a radio guy, 36 full-time engineers to operate the original KDK radio. And they had a big tower out in Saxonburg. But George Westinghouse, who, by the way, back in the day was one of the first big industrialists who gave his people a 6-day work week as opposed to 7 days and eventually five. And he and Thomas Edison battled it out to see who's alternating current or direct current, AC, DC, and then they stole that for the rock group.
That's in the Men That Built America, too, the whole thing. Yeah, it's cool.
Yeah, so it's George Westinghouse basically was at war with Thomas Edison. And apparently there's a movie called The Current War, and it's about that battle. And they portray Thomas Edison as kind of a, as we would say in Pittsburgh, a jag-off.
According to this documentary, Lara, same thing. Tesla wasn't like an intern. for Edison.
Yes.
And he comes to Edison constantly and say, no, I got AC all figured out. And he goes, nah, I tried. It doesn't work. He goes, come on. And he finally got tired of it. And he's just like, Edison, get out of here. You know. So he leaves, and it ends up being huge. Westinghouse saw him at like some county fair or something like that. He's
Tesla.
But yeah,
he hired him too.
And he brought, that's how Westinghouse brings Tesla.
Nikolai.
In. And was it J.P. Morgan? Okay, he's Edison's guy. Okay. And he said to him, he said, when they had Edison Electric lighting up now New York, he says, are there any competitors out there? He said, no, none. Here it's Tesla. So they needed, they were going for a national contract. Like there was going to be one company who's going to do the
American. They were going to decide.
Yeah. Choose Tesla. They choose Westinghouse. He's so angry, J.P. Morgan. He goes out and buys all the stock of Westinghouse, everything. He says, I'll crush your company. You give me that contract. Mm-hmm. He gave it to him. According to this documentary, mm-hmm. he gave him the contract, said, oh, if you could have it. So he goes back to Westinghouse. J.P. Morgan goes back to Edison and says, hey, look, you kind of screwed up. I asked you if there was any competition. You said no, and there was. So I ended up going to do this. Now I own it. I'm starting a new company. I'll give you like 20% stock in it if you want to be in, because you always were there for me. He goes, no, I don't want it. Get out of here. And as he's leaving, Edison goes, what's the name of your company you're starting? He said, General Electric.
That's tremendous.
He was a genius, but maybe not.
But
not in business.
At the end of this, at the end of this movie, Current War, Tesla, who ends up dying eventually as a pauper, basically, penniless. He is looking up at all the wires now that they've strung the electrical wires for the lights and electricity, and they started with some communities in New York. Mm-hmm. He looks up and he tells, I think it was Westinghouse, he goes, I got an idea. And it's like, what's now what? He goes, we don't need all these wires. And that's how they end the movie. Because now everything we do, you know, Wi-Fi, everything's wireless. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And they thought he was a total stark-raving mad man to say or suggest, we can do a lot of this without wires. Can you imagine that? And then he ended up broke. What's the moral of the story? Hit the Powerball.
Always get an agent. Always get an agent. Negotiate.
Yes.
Always get an agent.
So they
can get a good deal. Eric Heil. We hear a lot of great things about you, Eric. You've got this quirky sense of humor, they say. Did you ever do stand-up like Jim Crenn?
I don't have that talent and ability, I don't think.
Oh, don't sell yourself short.
I don't know.
I've read your bio on the patch. You're a pretty funny guy.
Oh, well. You have a style that's so Pittsburgh because we get you.
Yeah, this is, whatever I do, it probably wouldn't work anywhere else, which is good because I have a mortgage still.
Oh, you're one of those people.
Yeah.
So, you know, Eric, I'm dying to ask you what you think about the way news is done now. Remember in journalism school, it was all about neutrality. You know, you tell both sides of the story. You don't give your opinion. That's all out the window now.
I've seen that from both sides. I was a columnist for about 16 years at the Trib, and so paid to give my opinion. Which was kind of cool, and did that in that, I guess, that quirky Yinzer style. Mm-hmm. But
that was in the opinion column.
It was on the local front, but still it was clearly marked as opinion. And now when you turn on the TV, locally you can get objective news. But if you turn on any of the national news channels, your CNNs, your Fox, 90% of that are so-called analysts and experts. And they're giving opinions that aren't often based in fact, and you know facts. At least I'm old enough to realize that facts matter in journalism if you're going to do it correctly. And to try and pretend that wild opinions and stuff that you get off of Facebook without any type of validation, those things aren't facts. And unfortunately, that, you know, one of the things about journalism, if you're doing it correctly, you have to verify facts, which isn't always fun, and sometimes it takes some work and some effort. But at the end of the day, that's what journalism is all about. I mean, everyone has opinions, but opinions aren't facts.
Well, thanks for continuing to hold the torch of truth and liberty.
And justice and the American way.
That's it. Eric like that. Heil. Let's hear it for Eric.
Hash.com.
Thank you, Eric.
Thank you. And when we come back, we're going to meet another journalist. She's the food editor at the Post-Gazette, not the restaurant critic. We've got Gretchen McKay with us. This is Larry Richard Unfiltered with Jim Crenn and Sheila Hyland, Episode 2 on Odyssey. You're listening to Larry Richard Unfiltered with Jim Krenn and Sheila Hyland. This is Episode 2, and we want to thank the guys from 23rd and Vine here on East Carson Street.
Coolest wine bar.
Birmingham.
Coolest wine bar.
You got to thank Bob Bozzelli, Lou Caputo, and you got Ray Stiff. Do you know how to say Ray's name?
I call him Ray. My buddy. This is Pittsburgh. We just do first names and nicknames.
Ray. I just talked to Ray about that. He goes, everybody.
He's a good guy.
He goes, it's Eastern European. Nobody can spell it, let alone say
what
it.
What is the last name?
Yes. Yes, it is. I'm with Jimmy. It's Ray. No, we love Ray. These guys have been great to us. So we thank Ray, Bob, and Lou. Yeah, somebody just came in a delivery. There's some wine.
But the backyard is like, they get this cool backyard, the lights and the whole thing.
Yeah, it's near the Birmingham Bridge on that side of East Carson. So if you get a chance, 23rd and Vine. And this is a perfect segue because we have Gretchen McKay, who is the food editor at the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. So, Gretchen, you're used to going out and about and cooking at home, too, right?
That's right. I cook a lot. I go out a lot. I like to eat and drink. What can I say? I have the dream job.
What's your go-to dish to cook?
If
you're going to bring us over to cook, what would you say? I'm going to knock them out with this. This is my dish.
Pretty good at making homemade pasta, so it'd probably be a pasta dish.
You're making the pasta, too, from scratch.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What's in that?
Wow. Flour, water, sometimes egg, depends. But in my job, I cook a lot. And it's funny because I almost never cook the same thing twice.
Really?
Yeah. I have tested probably over 1,000 recipes over the course of my career for the Post-Gazette.
And, so
and you say you're not a food critic. However, it kind of sounds like you are.
Sort of.
Well,
she's a food editor, but not a restaurant critic.
I'm not. But I have definite opinions when I go out. So.
We want to hear about some of those.
Well, let's ask, first of all, how long have you been at the Post-Gazette now?
Okay, now I'm going to be revealing my age, like Sheila.
She didn't give a number.
Secret is safe.
I'm probably
with me, Gretchen.
Older.
You can lie a little bit.
You're a kid next to me.
Yeah, okay. I've been there, 20.
Okay. That's fair enough. Strike that last question.
I've been there a long time. I guess I'm one of the old timers, and now I finally look like one because during the pandemic I stopped dyeing my hair, and look at my hair.
No, it's beautiful.
Fabulous.
It's natural.
Gorgeous.
People
would kill for that.
You know what it's like?
Dyed their hair to get to that color. It's white.
That's crazy.
It's like the snow on a fresh fallen morning in Aspen.
It's white, which is cool.
Good. Yes.
It's a high fashion look.
No, I know that. And by the way, I should have told Eric Heil from The Patch, too. You know, all we've seen of you guys over the years is little tiny, like a photo from elementary school.
Yeah, little paper photos, yes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and they're like the worst pictures.
So
and they usually don't change them either.
No.
Although yours
changed. When I got my job, I became the food editor just this spring, and my picture was many years old, and I had long, beautifully dyed brown hair. So,
own it. You look great.
Whatever.
You own it. You got
it. I'm at the age now where I just don't give up. I'm not going to say the word.
Fennel.
Yeah, I don't give a fennel.
There you go.
All right.
I just don't.
I want to. This is a very personal question, I hope you won't be offended.
Okay.
I mean, we're supposed to be a little unfiltered.
Uh-oh.
The big story about Dollar Tree raising their prices.
Oh, my God. I'm so upset.
Did you see this?
Yes.
I'm hurt, too.
Now, one of the things that jumped.
I love Dollar Tree.
Is it Dollar Tree? Yeah.
Yeah, Dollar Tree.
So there are a bunch of there's Dollar General.
Everything's a buck. It's not
five below. But this is, so they're raising prices, Jim.
Yeah.
So you know when you would go in for a price check?
Mm-hmm. Everywhere. I'd ask, just to mess with the manager, I would say, how much is this? Dollar. How much is this? Dollar.
What's it? Two for a dollar.
Sometimes, yes.
And
I love that place. Hey. I feel so well. I walk in Rich 20, I'm like big time.
I love it. I know.
Jim walks in.
Yeah.
Throwing dollars.
Now that he's single, let's be honest. Mm-hmm. He walks in with ones hanging out
of
his
pockets. Yes, I do.
He wants people to see. He makes
roller.
It rain.
That's
all.
Did you earn those?
I did. I walk in and say, give me that whole second shelf right there. I got $30 on me. toothbrush covers.
Here's the thing that jumped off the page to me in this story.
All right.
They're raising prices in part because of their meats.
They have dollar meats. I almost wrote about that one time.
You should,
well, now they're dollar meats.
That's my question.
I didn't know they had that.
My question to you is unfiltered. Have you ever purchased dollar meats from Dollar Tree for any recipe you've ever made?
No, I did actually once buy one of their dollar steaks, but I don't think I ever cooked it because it was an immediate, regret.
They have dollar steaks?
I'm all over that.
Yeah, they do.
Where do steaks come from?
I don't know.
Don't ask.
Are they from China?
They're from something.
You never ask.
I guess it's. I guess it sells. But I mean, I don't know. I guess if I said, "Hey, I'm inviting you guys over to my house. I'm going to make you steaks. Got them at the Dollar Tree." You guys go, "Wow, Jimmy, you're going all out for us."
Can you imagine?
That's hilarious.
I got
a liter of soda pop.
Jim,
all for
here's dollars. A whole new bit for your stand up.
$10.
Just marinate it. No one will know.
See, that's why you have knowledge of how to. Bring it to the next level.
Although the Dollar Tree is the only place I can find lemonade licorice from Switzers.
Really?
So,
see, so there are things.
I'm a big Dollar Tree fan, by the way.
What do you go there for?
And milk duds.
All this candy and stuff, all the healthy food that I eat. Mm-hmm. Now that I found there's meat, I'll go there, too.
Dollar Tree meat. As cooked by Gretchen McKay.
But you can marinate it.
Food editor at the Post-Gazette. Now we're going to expect you're going to have to write about it.
I had pitched a story a while ago, and I've just never gotten around to doing it.
We'll pitch it with you.
Yeah, okay. On just cooking from the Dollar Tree.
You should do that.
Let's do a Dollar Tree meal.
That's the perfect time to do it.
We could do a podcast with them.
Go in there with $50. I could feed you for a week.
We're going
easy.
Full disclosure.
You could feed the block for a week with $50.
Have you ever walked into one of those places just to kill some time while you were in a plaza, maybe waiting for something else, and you go, I'm not really going to buy anything in here. And then next thing you know, you're walking out with a bag full.
Always.
You can't help it.
You can't walk in there without walking out with something.
Well, if you use a credit card, you got to spend at least $10, too. So you got to get at least 10 things.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's a good deal, actually.
Gretchen is going to maybe do something by spending $50.
There you go.
Dollar Tree.
Yes, all right. Make us a meal for the entire block here in Carson Street.
Oh, I know what it is.
Yes.
All right, so here's what I thought about when it comes to the Dollar Tree.
Hmm. Yeah.
There's a story periodically about someone that held one up. And I'm thinking, if you're going to risk going to jail for armed robbery, why would you pick the place where you only know there are ones?
You're not even trying if you're a thief at that point.
Right?
You're like a bad thief.
Those are busy places, though.
It's gut check time.
Hey, listen.
And you know what? Maybe you want small bills because they're not marked.
Gretchen.
Gretchen.
You're an evil mastermind criminal. We didn't know this till now. That's genius.
Now we know what she's dreaming of.
That's why.
You guys, she's cooking. Just brought you on to talk about
fives
food.
And tens.
Little did we know. But still, you have to try harder than where are you born?
I was born in Pittsburgh. I'm a Pittsburgh girl, but I like to tell people I moved away.
Where'd you go?
But I boomeranged back. When I went to, after college, I got married. We lived in Miami. Then I lived in Hong Kong.
Hong Kong?
Really?
Hong Kong. I've lived in D.C. a couple times. I've lived in New York City. And then in a typical fashion, I came back to Pittsburgh, and I live right around the corner from the house that I grew up in.
It's cool. What part of town?
I live in Ben Avon.
Okay,
so
that's a beautiful place.
Yeah, and it was great because I have five kids, so they grew up with their grandparents, and it was, but it's, I always like to point, I did leave.
But you came back.
You explored, but everybody comes back.
Yeah.
Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
So what do you think about Pittsburgh food and restaurants compared to all those other places that you live to come? Let's face it, Hong Kong,
great.
D.C.,
D.C., well, I'm sorry, D.C. is great.
For food,
better? There's just so much to do in D.C.
Do they have Dollar Tree meat there?
I don't know.
Dollar Tree meat.
Nothing's a dollar in D.C.
True.
There's just an energy, I think, in D.C. because there's so many young people. But it's funny because I just go out today and you go to a brewery or wherever and there's kids and all these young people, you know, with their beards.
Because kids
and
are
stuff.
Often at breweries.
I know, but when I had kids, there was nowhere to take kids. I mean, nowhere.
Chuck E. Cheese.
Well, yeah, Chuck E. Cheese. But it's like
yeah, they have great pizza.
So many more. Oh, they do have. They do have good pizza. Of course, yeah. I haven't been
pitchers of beer.
Years.
That's always a good idea.
That's for the dads.
But yeah. People are so lucky today. There's so much more to do in Pittsburgh. Like, you know, 20 or 30 years ago, there was, what, a handful of, you know, fine dining and Eaton Park. And that's
it's true, right?
It.
We have great restaurants.
I thought
in the
Eaton
city.
Park was
great
fine
chefs.
Dining.
Well, wait, no,
it
wait. Legit, in the last decade,
it's really
Pittsburgh's become
like
a foodie destination.
Didn't we get like a Zagat award, some award or something like that a few years
Zagat?
Back? Zagat, we're like some
we,
big.
I mean,
for
we have had we've had chefs who have gotten James Beard awards and
who is James Beard? I hear this. Hey, they got the James
I just got
Beard
his
award.
Autobiography.
Who the hell is James
I believe
Beard?
He's from my hometown.
He's from
home state, Oregon, right?
Is he?
I think he is.
I should know this, but I have his. But he's
I will
very
not
famous
swear my
chef
life on that. But I thought he was from the Pacific Northwest.
But it's just there are a lot of really great restaurants today. All the cuisine, you know, every cuisine you can think of. There's so many places for cocktails for beer. I mean, the brewery list just keeps going and going.
Is it because I read this too that like in New York and all these Washington D.C. where the chefs, these secondary chefs, the sous chef, the assistant, mm-hmm. whatever. You're looking at cities, Pittsburgh. Our real estate's amazing. You could start a restaurant here pretty fairly fast and quick if you're,
yep.
you know, you could be a great chef. And I think some of those restaurants are from that.
Although I would argue Pittsburgh's getting kind of expensive.
Mm-hmm. Well, down Lawrenceville is now.
I
well,
know.
I grew up. We're back to Dollar Tree raising the prices.
Do I sound old?
No. I told you, you're a kid next to me.
I don't know. I look at what some of these people are paying for rents, and I'm just like, are you kidding me? You're in Pittsburgh.
My mom
I
still
can relate to that.
My mom still doesn't believe that places in East Liberty are $500,000. She goes, you're kidding me. I go, no, I'm serious.
Well, how about the Strip District?
Your native town. Yes, where I grew up. I grew up in an alley. I can't imagine.
What you know, that alley costs
being
now.
Being able to foresee that. To see that happen, which is great. I think it's fantastic.
I guess, cool. But if you're young, where do you go? There's
all
nowhere
right.
to go.
If you had to pick one
Butler.
Restaurant,
oh, I knew you were going to ask me.
You
this.
Knew we were going to ask you this. I know you're not the restaurant critic, but we rely on you as a native tongue.
I don't know.
You talk about marinate Dollar Tree meat.
What about? I go Cheap Eats. I'm not a fine dining kind of person.
But have you tried Pusidee's Garden?
Not since
where's
it's
I've never heard of this. What's it called again?
Lawrenceville, Pusidee's Garden.
See, expensive, but good
restaurant.
Oh my gosh,
wait, or is it?
Sounds
no,
biblical.
It's
high.
You don't
no,
have to
it,
live
it's
there.
Liberty or Lawrenceville?
No, it's in Lawrenceville.
Okay. Oh my gosh, just the ambiance
Pusidee's Garden?
Alone. Pusidee's Garden.
Pusidee.
It's amazing. It's
I'm
high.
Glad you said it because I wasn't sure how to
Pusidee.
Say it.
Yeah, Pusidee's.
Pusidee's.
Be careful how you say that.
I'll tell you where I do go a lot is I go to the Lincoln Avenue Brewery in Bellevue because it's local to me. I feel comfortable.
A kinship.
Sitting at the bar it. By myself and drinking a beer.
Well, okay. You know what? Bellevue,
great food.
It hasn't been that long since they got a liquor license for the town. I mean, that was a dry town forever.
Oh, and now Evia Greek is there, which is fabulous, and Revival on Lincoln, which is fine dining, which is excellent. They're getting an Indian restaurant, I hear. There's a Thai restaurant, so there's a lot of
this is Bellevue.
Option. I know. Yeah. Seriously.
And they are and becoming, because of its cool. proximity, it's what, 10 minutes from downtown? It's mm-hmm. on the way to the airport.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
It's getting that vibe like Lawrenceville
took
off.
Let's hope, because I tell you, we're sort of in the North Hills getting the shaft with, there's not a whole lot. I think.
You know, along the McKnight Road corridor.
If you don't want to drink and drive,
yeah,
it's hard.
Why isn't there much fine dining along McKnight Road?
McKnight Road.
I mean, there's so many people that drive back and forth every day. And the mall's up there.
I don't know. I can't tell you.
Fine dining. What constitutes fine dining?
Well, for me, traditionally it's a white tablecloth where it's upscale dining, but for me
real utensils
work night, the whole deal.
For me it's just all about price. I don't like to I'm a pretty good cook, so for me to go out it has to be something I can't cook at home. I don't like to spend a lot of money out. I shouldn't even be saying
but you know what though, the reality though is it is changing, I think. Anyway, if you go out to like Cranberry or whatever, I live in Southside. Mm-hmm. I live three blocks down the street here. Almost every restaurant here is in there is in an area in the Cranberry Marsh. It's almost like they took the south side and brought it there. Mm-hmm. You have Dive Bar, a great, mm-hmm. great place, all these cool bars, yeah. And soon 23rd and Vine. But I'm just saying, it is getting there to where your fine dining is starting to come to different areas. You know, I'm sorry, what's it, Pusada's Garden or whatever his name is?
Pusadis.
Yeah, that guy. He's got a chain. Great name. But
wait till you see it.
That garden.
Where is that again?
Garden. See? It'll be
Lawrenceville.
North Hills.
In Lawrenceville.
Yeah, Pusadis Garden. They closed it for a couple mm-hmm. of years to do millions of dollars worth of renovations.
Okay.
You walk inside, you would not
I can't
believe
wait to
you're
try
is this
you
the place
like
that used to be a funeral home?
It's a garden? What was it?
That
no.
I don't know.
I always believe I can follow that.
Lady Larry says
does anyone know the name of the restaurant that used to be a funeral home in Lawrenceville?
In Lawrenceville?
Literally.
Really?
What is it, Eric Kyle?
Oh, the Abbey.
Abbey.
Oh,
I do
like
that
Abbey.
The church. Oh, the Abbey's wonderful.
And they have a really good brunch. They have a really good brunch.
And I'm all about ambiance, too. The food can be okay, but if the ambiance is there, I'm all in.
Yeah.
Well, they
I
said,
the
yeah, I don't know. It's got a weird vibe, but it was cool. But I felt weird when they laid out the menu.
I know that feeling. You're reaching for it. You're waiting for that joke for 10 minutes.
Then you know why.
My whole life. You just kept fighting for that joke. You're trying to set that up.
Well, Larry, Revival in Bellevue also was in a funeral home.
Really? So. Mm-hmm. That's a Pittsburgh thing, I think.
Yeah, it was a funeral home for years and years and then abandoned, and it's pretty terrific.
An abandoned funeral home.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, who wants to buy a funeral home?
Well, they're nice houses. They really are nice. They're beautiful homes.
I think they'd be great places to live.
Here's a twist.
Quiet.
Okay. Quiet. Yeah.
Right off the Wexford exit, there's a place that used to be called the Stone Mansion. It was a fine dining restaurant.
Oh, I vaguely remember that.
Don Mervis was the general manager. And before that, it was called the Griffin. And it was built in pieces of when they raised the homes or where the Cathedral of Learning is, they took rooms from those mansions and some of the homes, and the sheriff back then in the 30s filled this barn with all this stuff. Then he built this house for himself. It's one of the coolest places ever. They turned it into a restaurant.
Okay.
So it went from the Griffin to the Stone Mansion to now it's Shell House Funeral Home.
Oh,
so it's the reverse.
It went back.
It went back.
Oh, my God.
Do they serve food there still?
You could do that. You could do the laid out joke right now.
Finger foods. So, all right. What's the number one go to fine dining restaurant in Pittsburgh? Gretchen McKay.
I'm not answering that.
Why? Come on.
Where do I like to go?
Besides
it's
home.
You, your person. Where you know?
If I could go anywhere,
For like a meal.
For a meal. I wouldn't go fine dining. I would go tacos or burgers or
funeral home.
Indian food or something casual.
Are there more Chinese restaurants in Pittsburgh than in Hong Kong?
No.
You lived in Hong Kong. You would
but they don't call them Chinese restaurants there.
Well, that's true.
Huh? She she ni ni hao ma.
Okay.
You speak Mandarin?
No. When I lived in Hong Kong, I spoke Cantonese, but only enough to get
around. I'm a Mandarin guy.
In the market.
Is that real Mandarin you did?
Yeah.
Now?
She she ni is thank
You're
you.
Making that up.
No.
What is
she Ask she Gretchen. She
was
knows.
Was doing Italian last time.
I know.
Now you switched to Chinese.
He was Asian. He's Asian now.
Next week, we'll speak the entire podcast episode 3 in Russian.
Okay.
That's awesome.
But meanwhile.
Wait, what is it? She what?
She she ni. And if you're short, like she she.
Okay, what's
like she she ni, that's thank you.
Thank you.
Or she she is short, like thanks.
I'm using that next time I go to an
Boka chi ni hao ma tai chi.
I recognize that. What's that? Ni hao.
Yes, it is. I'm sorry, we're out of time.
You just called me a jagoff in Chinese.
No,
right?
I wouldn't. Gretchen McKay, food editor, postgazette.com. Read all about it. Thanks for coming out to 23rd and Vine on East Carson Street. Fine wine. Mm-hmm. Not so much the dining.
I've never been here, and it looks like I would like to come here and drink some.
Well, stick around.
It's
we'll
a cool space.
You'll love it.
And thanks for coming out.
You're welcome.
And being part of episode 2. We want to thank our producer, Dick Roberts, and your guy, Jim.
The best, man.
He's the best.
Best tech guy in the world, producer.
And Bob, Ray, Sefic.
I do all net first names.
Sefic.
Either nickname or first name. That's Pittsburgh.
Bob Bazzelli, Lou Caputo, the proprietors of 23rd and Vine, for letting us do this.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think? Pretty cool spot.
I didn't get to tell my White House story.
Go ahead, please. We got another minute. It's a podcast.
Oh,
we can go.
Go ahead. I just got to go there when
you got to drop that.
When the Obamas were in as a food reporter, and she was doing her garden, and I actually saw Obama take off in his helicopter from the pad in front of.
That's pretty cool.
I know, it's exciting, right?
I think it is.
Excuse me, one thing.
You can see that.
That's our helicopter.
Your
No, all of ours. That's really cool.
Our helicopter.
So did you get the meat?
No, I know. But I got to look at him.
I like that.
Get
to see the helicopter.
I have so many stories I could tell you.
Well, come back.
Next time I'll tell you about my fans in prison.
Oh, you have a prison following?
Yes, I do.
Is this a Martha?
Is this,
why didn't you not tell us this opening?
Is this a Martha Stewart story?
It's a prison fan. I mean, prisoners.
You can't save the best for last. You've got to start out with that.
No, well, you see, I used to be on KDKA to do news spots, and I got a lot of fans from that, and some of them. Their letters came with, you know, the thing on the outside.
I've seen
it was from
come
the
back
person,
on.
Inmate number, whatever.
Bring some letters for next time.
They're people, too.
I got some scary letters.
They got to eat.
Yeah, you know. Well, it's prison letters.
Well, we'll have you come back someday. Okay. You should have told us about that from the get-go. We would have started with.
You know what? It's hard to get a word in edgewise among this group.
It is.
Prison Stories with Gretchen McKay.
That's right.
Soon to be a podcast of her own.
Yeah, I love it.
No, we thank you so much.
I love my fans.
Well, we appreciate you coming out.
Oh, thanks, Larry, for asking me. And Sheila and Jimmy Crenn. Wow.
Thanks, Gretchen.
Odyssey.
Appreciate it.
It's a free app. You can download it, and it's a great resource for a lot of cool stuff. And we hope you'll check out this and the next episode of Larry Richard Unfiltered with Jim Crenn and Sheila Hyland. And appreciate you being here. Thanks. We'll keep an ear out for you.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.